Welcome to Riches in Christ Radio Ministry with Diane Kennedy. Please stay tuned at the end of today's lesson. We'll give you information on how you can acquire this week's tape, along with information about our weekly meetings and website. Now, here's Diane Kennedy.
This week we've begun a new series, and we're talking about the connection between our past, our present, and our future in the context of the hope that we have, because God has called us to become part of His plan and purpose. His plan and purpose is to have a family of sons and daughters through Jesus, who are then made like Jesus in character and power. We're going to discuss all this in detail as we work through this over the next few weeks, but it's already Friday, so let me bring this to a good dropping off point for the week. Your past since you've been born. See, we've emphasized that you have a history with God that begins before you ever existed. God knew you. Let me say it this way. There's never been a time God didn't know you. He's always known you. You didn't exist yet, but because He's all-knowing, He knew when you'd be conceived and when you'd be born, and He devised a plan for you back in eternity past. And He created you in Adam, potentially. All of us were in Adam when God made Adam. God brought Eve out of Adam through a supernatural process, and then they were given the privilege of giving birth to the rest of the family. When you were conceived in your mother's womb, you were born into a fallen race with a sin nature, and as soon as you were old enough, you became guilty of sin before a holy God. But your past with God didn't begin there. He knew you'd be born into a fallen race, and He knew you'd commit sin for which you would be guilty before Him. So He took on flesh and was born into this world and went to the cross to pay the price for that sin. And when you acknowledge Jesus as Savior and Lord and bow your knee to Him, you step back into God's plan for you. Your past, since you've been born, your failures and your sin, can't stop your future as God's son or daughter from coming to pass now that you're back in Father's house, now that you've come back to your Father through the door, Jesus Christ. Your destiny to be a son or daughter of God, living in loving relationship with your Father, fully glorifying to Him in every way, is in the process of being fulfilled and will be fulfilled. Whole lessons for another day. But you have to understand that just as your past includes more than the days since you were conceived in your mother's womb, your future is more than just the days you have left until you die. Your future is more than just the days you have left until you die. There is more to life than just this life. In fact, the greater and better part of our life is ahead, first in heaven and then on the new earth. The new earth is this world, this earth, made new in connection with the return of Jesus Christ. We live in a world that has been damaged by sin, but God made this earth to be the home for Himself and His family. And when Jesus returns, He's going to restore the earth to be a fit forever home for Himself and His family. The Bible begins and ends with God on earth with His family. That's a whole lesson for another day. Now, let's wrap this up. The Apostle Paul lived his life with the consciousness that a plan is unfolding. See, we started this series in this week with a prayer Paul prayed for Christians that we would know the hope inspired by God's call. God's called you. He's chosen you and called you to be His son or daughter through faith in Him. And knowledge of that call gives us a future and a hope. And Paul lived with the consciousness that a plan is unfolding and his best days are ahead in the life to come. And that knowledge lightened the load of this life. Paul wrote in Romans chapter 8, verse 18, that the sufferings of this life don't even begin to compare with the glory that's going to be revealed to us and through us in the life to come. Paul also wrote 2 Corinthians 4:17. He said, "Our light affliction, which is but for a moment, works for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory." Paul faced many challenges from the moment he became a Christian till the moment he was killed for his faith in Christ. But he called those challenges light and momentary. Light means they did not weigh him down. Doesn't mean he liked them or enjoyed them, because just a few chapters later, he talked about being sorrowful yet rejoicing in the context of the many troubles he experienced. He called his trials momentary because he knew that in comparison to eternity, even a lifetime of hardship is nothing. Paul's not crying tonight in heaven about the hardships he faced. He was able to maintain this attitude because he understood that eternal realities were being played out behind the scenes in his life. Right now, in this present age, God is using the challenges of life in a fallen world and causing them to serve his purposes. Now, those are whole lessons for another day, but I tell you this because I want you to understand the connection between the past, the future, and the present. The hardships of life don't come from God. He doesn't orchestrate the conditions in the pig pen. When that wayward son, the prodigal son, left home and ended up in the pig pen, God didn't cause the conditions in the pig pen. But the realities of the conditions in the pig pen woke that boy up to his need to go back home to his father. Remember, Jesus told that parable to illustrate how heaven responds when a lost son comes home through faith and repentance. Let me say it this way. We live in the pig pen of this earth right now. God didn't cause the conditions in the pig pen, but he can use them to advance his purposes. And his purposes are to gather a family of sons and daughters. Now, Paul's life obviously produced eternal results because he preached the gospel throughout the Roman world and wrote 2/3 of the New Testament. You may think, my life doesn't produce eternal results. I'm just a hairdresser, or I'm just a factory worker, I got to stay home and take care of the kids, or I'm retired, or whatever. But I could do a whole lesson on this, but let me give you some food for thought as we bring this to a close for the week. The Bible is filled with examples of ordinary people living ordinary lives, yet we see God at work behind the scenes, working out his plan to have a family. Back in 1 Samuel chapter 20, we read about Jonathan's arrow carrier. Remember Jonathan, David's friend Jonathan? Jonathan was King Saul's son. But Saul got off track, and Samuel anointed David to be the next king of Israel once Saul passed off the scene. Well, Saul became very jealous of David. Now, Saul's son Jonathan and David had struck up a wonderful friendship. I'm going to leave out a lot of details in the interest of time. But Saul got to the point where he decided he was going to kill David. And David at first didn't believe it, but Jonathan became convinced that Saul intended to kill his dear friend David as well. So he told David to hide out, and he said, I'm going to find out my father's true intentions, and I will send you a message that'll let you know that, well, I was wrong, my dad isn't going to hurt you, and you can come back and live with us. Or I'm right, and he is going to kill you, and you need to run for your life until he passes off the scene. Well, sure enough, Jonathan found out that Saul intended to kill David. But because it was a dangerous situation, they came up with a plan to secretly get the message to David. On the appointed day, David was supposed to hide out in this field, and David was going to go practice shooting arrows. And because he's the prince of Israel, he's got an arrow carrier, a boy who carries his arrows and who picks up the arrows that he shoots for fun. Well, if the arrow carrier went one direction, it meant David's life was in jeopardy and he needed to run. If the arrow carrier went to pick up the arrows in another direction, it meant it's safe for you to come home. Well, that's exactly what happened. Jonathan shot the arrows in the direction that signaled the message to David, run for your life. But think about the arrow carrier. I mean, he's basically a servant for a rich prince. Maybe he didn't feel good that day, and he didn't feel like picking up arrows that this rich boy is shooting for fun. And he's thinking, because he didn't know. The passage specifically says he had no idea what was going on. But he was actually involved in an event that had eternal significance, because had David been killed at that point, he had not yet given birth to Solomon, his son, and the line through which Jesus was already prophesied to come would have been broken before Jesus came to this earth, and God's word would have not come to pass. It was a very critical situation. There's an ordinary person whose ordinary event, his ordinary job, was being used by God for eternal purposes. Did you ever think about the lady who, let me say it this way. Elijah the prophet, during a time of great famine, was kept alive by birds who brought him bread and meat every day. Well, they could catch a rabbit and bring it to the prophet, but birds don't bake bread. Where'd they get the bread? Well, they probably swooped it off of a windowsill where a housewife had it cooling after she made it to feed her family. You know, she goes to the windowsill to get her newly baked bread, and it's gone. And she's thinking, oh, man, who stole my bread? One of those idiot neighbor kids probably stole my bread. Little did she know, a raven directed by God took that bread to go feed the prophet and keep him alive. Once again, this is critical because at that point in Israel's history, Baal worship was about to wipe out knowledge of Jehovah. Had Israel gone completely into idol worship and knowledge of Jehovah been wiped out, it would have broken the redemptive line through which Jesus is coming. Think about the person who raised the donkey that Jesus rode into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday in fulfillment of prophecy. He may have thought, oh, my life has no meaning. I just work with the donkeys here. But God was at work behind the scenes. I'm convinced that when we get to heaven, we're going to be approached by people we don't recognize, and they'll tell us how their path crossed ours at some point in some way, and we don't know who they are, and we really don't know what they're talking about, but that encounter was the seed that ultimately led them to become a son or daughter of God through faith in Christ. Our life, our ordinary mundane life, produced an eternal life, an eternal result. Paul made that clear in Ephesians. He told slaves to do their jobs as unto the Lord, chapter 6, verses 5 through 8. He said, you serve the Lord, and the ultimate stage for the reversals of life's injustices, and you've been treated unjustly, you're a slave. The ultimate stage for the recompense and restoration, the fulfillment of hopes and dreams, is in the life to come. Live your life with the consciousness that a plan is unfolding. And I close with that thought for us. We need to live our lives with the consciousness that a plan is unfolding. You have a part in this plan. You have value and worth. God can and will use the circumstances of your life and cause them to serve his eternal purpose. Right now, God's main purpose is to gather his family, to draw as many people as possible out of the pig pen of sin to himself. And your life is part of that plan. You have a future and a hope in him. Lot more next week.
You have been listening to Diane Kennedy of Riches in Christ. To order this week's teaching on CD, be ready for our number coming up soon. Diane teaches locally every Friday night at 7:30 p.m. near Highway 44 in Jamison at 4720 Jamison. Praise and worship is provided by Mercy's Child before each lesson. Riches in Christ provides a website at www.richesinchrist.com where you can listen to this week's radio lesson, download years of teachings and outlines, sign up for free weekly outlines, and order Diane's book, God is Good and Good Means Good. Friends, knowing that God is good is the single most important thing to stand on when trouble hits. If you think the trouble comes from or is allowed by God, then you need this book. For information or to order this week's lesson on CD, call us at 1-888-739-6619. Please mention today's date. Our number again is 1-888-739-6619.